Thank you, Dwight. How long has it been since you've seen a rainy day with about 2 inches of rain in Palestine on a July the 9th? Been a long time. But it's sure been wonderful, hasn't it? It really, really has. Thank you for being here tonight. And if you're visiting with us, we want you to know that we're glad you're here and we hope that you'll come again. You know, you've been hearing a lot about the wall. If I were just to say something about the wall, you probably would think that I'm talking about the wall that Donald Trump keeps talking about. That is the wall on the border between the United States and the country of Mexico. Whether you agree with it or not, Donald Trump says that the wall is coming soon. A lot of division in our country over whether or not we ought to build a wall or whether we should not build a wall. But I don't want to talk about the wall that Donald Trump is going to build tonight. But I do want to talk about some other walls that I think that are really mentioned in the Bible. Did you know that ancient Israel had a wall? There is still there what they call the Wailing Wall. But they had a wall that encompassed the city of Jerusalem. It was a wall that really fortified. It gave security and protection. As a matter of fact, ancient walls were found around cities like Jericho, and you remember how God brought those walls down. But you will also remember that there were many times when God even sent his servants, like Nehemiah, to rebuild the wall that had been torn down and was ravaged. Do you know that even the city of heaven is walled? It is. And there are the gates that enter in to the city that we call heaven. I don't know why there's so much turmoil today and anxiety about whether or not we build a wall on the border or whether we don't build it. But you know what I'm really more concerned about are other walls that render us powerless. It creates anxiety within us. We become helpless. We have bad attitudes. We have no motivation, no drive, no desire to excel in what we should be doing. And most of the walls that we build are not to keep others out, but to keep us in. Many times in our lives, we build walls around ourselves. And in the book of Hebrews 12 in verse 1, the Apostle Paul said that we must get rid of everything that slows us down, especially the sin that just won't let go. And we must be determined, he says, to run the race that is ahead of us. And in order to do that, you have to move the obstacle that is the wall. And we have to cease to build walls around our own lives. Sometimes people do, however, and there are some walls that look almost impossible to scale. Sometimes we face walls in our life, walls of grief, as I mentioned this morning, walls of trauma, walls of financial problems, and we think, how in the world will I ever be able to overcome that wall? Sometimes we just have to knock walls down. But have you ever heard of the four spiritual walls that we read about in the Bible? In Psalms 18 and verse 29, I'm convinced from what David said, whatever the wall is, we can get beyond it. He said, "For by thee I have run through the troop, that is the army, and by my God have I leaped over the wall." Some walls we just have to knock down. Other walls we can leap over and get beyond and move on to a greater life. And that really is where God wants us to be. It is. You must let go, first of all, of your wall of worry. And a lot of people worry about a lot of things. How many of you are worriers tonight? Anybody willing to raise your hand on that? Most people will not admit it. A lot of people will tell you, oh, I'm concerned, but I'm not really worried. But it could be called anxiety as well, and many people are anxious in today's world. And I appreciated Kyle's prayer a moment ago because he really focused on, in that prayer, the fact that we are anxious about our country. We're troubled. We're anxious about what's going on in America because never, ever before in the history of our great country, I don't think that we have ever been as polarized and as divided and fragmented as we are in America today. But what happens is that we put one worry upon another worry. And before you know it, you have built a wall. You have. And in Psalms 46, God says unto us, let go of your concerns, and then you will know that I am God, and that I rule the earth. God also said that we are to just simply be still and know that I am God. There are walls of worry. We fret, we are anxious about a lot of things. We're like Martha in the New Testament. You remember how Jesus said that, Martha, you are troubled and you are careful, you are anxious. And if you were to put that in modern day phraseology, Christ would be saying, you are worried about a lot of things. And if you would admit it tonight, those of you that raised your hands and said you worry, everybody else that didn't, we know they do. But anyway, we all worry. It is common to all people. But we worry generally about things over which we have no control at all. And we generally worry over things that have happened in the past that we are powerless to change. Or we anticipate the future with great anxiety and worry as well. But how do I go about removing the wall of worry? If we are a worried people, and people worry about a lot of things in today's life, someone told me one time, don't let worry get you down. Remember that Moses started out as a basket case. Well, that's true. We know that he was placed in a basket, but certainly a different kind of basket of worry. I think the book of Philippians is so profound when it really talks about this thing that we call anxiety and how we do it and how we get beyond that wall of worry. Paul says, instead of worrying, one translation says, King James reads a little bit different, but instead of worrying, pray and let your petitions and your praises shape your worries into prayers. Letting God know your concerns before you know it, a sense, listen to this, of God's wholeness will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens, he says, when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Now, if you're reading that in the King James language, it says to be anxious in nothing, but by prayer with supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Sometimes we worry too much instead of really turning it over to the Lord. Passage I read this morning is so efficaciously true. Paul says that we are to cast our cares on him, for he careth for you. One reason I don't worry, honestly, about things in life and get so worked up and troubled about it is I think about the book of Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 5. A little book in the Old Testament. Very few people read the book of Zechariah. But it has great truths in it that are just as wonderful as any other book of the Bible. But notice what God says, for I, says the Lord, will be to her a wall of fire round about, and I will be the glory in the midst of her. God's talking about his nation. And I believe that God still has his hand on America tonight. And I believe that God has a wall around us. I really believe that. It's not by accident that we have been preserved for over 200 years from the enemy from without. You will remember that, by and large, the great enemy came from within. When this nation was divided back in the 1860s in what we call the Civil War. But it wasn't from outside. And God has preserved us because he has had his wall, and it is a firewall, as he calls it, around us. And I'm going to tell you something. He has a wall around each and every one of us individually as God's children. We have to bust through the wall sometimes. We do. And with the help of God, we can do it. I remember hearing Brother Keeble say many, many years ago, Brother Marshall Keeble, who was an old black preacher. And, you know, he said, if God told me to jump through that wall, he said, I would jump and let God make the hole. You know, in life sometimes when God asks us to do certain things that seem irrational, and not everything that God asks us to do seems to us to be real plausible and make a lot of sense and understanding, but we have to remember that whatever God asks us to do, we can do. In Philippians 4 and 13, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. So let go of your worries. Tear down the wall. But there's another. We must let go of the wall of our wounds. You know, all of us have been wounded in life. Could have been wounded by a friend. Could have been wounded by a relative, by a church member, by neighbor, by your children, by your husband, by your wife. I mean, a co-worker, maybe something that they said, maybe they spoke unnecessary words, and they said something to be very hurtful and demeaning. And you know, the Bible says that we have to watch our words. For in the book of James chapter 3 and verse 2, the scripture says, for in many things we offend all. Get that picture. In many things. But if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. And that word perfect there doesn't mean without sin. It means mature. You know, there's some people that are still in their spiritual infancy, or they are what someone called in spiritual kindergarten. They've never really grown. They've never really developed in their life. But he says, the man who does not offend in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. If you can control your tongue, you can control your life. That's why David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God. But how do I let go of those wounds? When people have hurt me with their caustic words, and when people have said unkind and unloving things to me, how do you let go of that? A lot of people never let go of it. A lot of people hold on to it. They wallow in their self-pity sometimes. They talk about things that have happened years ago when God is saying unto us, we need to move on. We need to tear down the wall. Our nation is divided tonight over words. You stop and think about it. A lot of it is over what Donald Trump calls fake news. And it does happen, folks. But a lot of times, we feed the fire sometimes by our own actions. We do, and we have to be very, very careful. I don't know that the division of this country has ever been greater than right now, the division between the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. Now, I'm not taking sides with either one tonight. I've told you many times, I'm an independent. I don't vote along party lines. That's just not me. And because I'm going to tell you, I can see some fallacies in both parties. But I do believe in voting as an American, and I've told you that, and I believe we ought to stand up for. And too oftentimes in our world today, we end up voting for the lesser of the two evils. And that is a real tragedy. But how do we let go of all of these wounds? I believe that God has a prescription for wound healing and for care that only He can give. He says that He will bind up the broken hearts. He is the one that heals our wounds, the Bible said. And you know what? Many of us have a wall that we have built, and it is built out of wounds. Things that people have done to us through the years, or maybe things they haven't done that you thought they ought to do. But it may be those words that I said a moment ago, but it has really become a wall, and it immobilizes you, and you can't get beyond that wall. But I'm going to tell you there's a way that you can do it, and that is through the avenue of prayer. And if you go back when Paul says that don't be anxious in anything, you remember that his recipe and his prescription for overcoming that anxiety was to pray with thanksgiving and supplication in the Spirit unto God. We ought to be a people that worry about nothing and pray about everything. But too often in life, we find ourselves the counter. We need to work on healing our spiritual wounds. We all feel wounded at times. In Psalms 37 and verse 8, it was King David who said that we are to let go of our anger and leave your rage behind. And do not be preoccupied. It only leads to evil. If you don't believe in the progression of sin, go back and read again the words of James. Why, you can go back and read the words of Jesus Christ, who talked about anger, and then he talked about murder in that Sermon on the Mount, which is so eloquently spoken and preserved for us in the Holy Scriptures, in the book of Luke, and also in the book of Matthew as well. In Proverbs 18 and verse 8, listen. Solomon said, when he talks about wounds, the words of a talebearer, we know what a talebearer is, don't you? Are as wounds, and they go down in the uttermost parts of the belly. Someone said to me one time, don't say the word belly, say the word stomach. I said, the Bible says the word belly. You know what your belly is? That's what he says. And he said, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. And they go down into the deeper parts. Someone was telling me yesterday that someone said something to them recently. And he said, you know, it was just like a kick in the stomach. A kick in the gut, as he called it. How many of you have ever been through that kind of wound before? You probably have. All of us have, no doubt. Things that have really gotten to us. That's why we have to watch our words. Here's that little book of Zechariah in the Old Testament again, in the 13th chapter and verse 6. The prophet said, and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hand? And then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friend. Now that's analogous to Jesus. That's really what he's talking about. You know, there's so many Old Testament prophecies that allude to the coming of Jesus and even the events. Even many of the statements that Jesus echoed while he was on the cross can be found even in the Old Testament. Analogous of the Christ who would come into the world. But notice what he says, I was wounded in the house of my friends. Those of us in the church have to be careful. We do. We can wound one another with words and perhaps with our actions, so we have to be careful. He said, those are the wounds that occurred in the house of my friend. You don't remember, I think really what that particular passage is talking about, might be talking about Judas Iscariot and how he betrayed Christ and he raised up his foot against Jesus. But you know, the Bible says that we can do the same thing, that we can trod underfoot the Son of God, and we count his sacrifice as naught. Let's be careful that we not wound one another, but also be careful to get rid of the wounded heart. Sometimes people carry around their wounded heart and they're constantly licking themselves and, you know, spiritually speaking, oh me, poor me. Well, you know what? You have to get beyond that wall. Don't build a wall. You need to release what's holding you back. In Ephesians 4, verse 31 and 32, the Bible says that we are to get rid of all bitterness, no more hateful feelings of any sort. Instead, forgive one another as God has forgiven you through Christ our Lord. Bitterness will lead, listen, you being angry will lead to bitterness, and bitterness sometimes will lead to assassination spiritually in your heart and in your mind. It does. You know, the path to the cross, the Bible says that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. And when he was wounded and on the cross, you remember, in the midst of those wounds, he could say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. For in Isaiah 53 and 5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. So I thank God tonight for healing that comes from his own wounds. And I'm going to tell you something. If Jesus Christ, my Lord, can overcome his wounds, I've been able to overcome mine through the years. And I've been wounded in a lot of ways through the years by a lot of folks. It's not easy being a preacher. You know, it's almost kind of like president in a way. You never please everybody. There's always going to be somebody that's upset. Somebody's got an axe to grind. You know, it just happens. It's the nature of the work. And you either survive or you die. I've chosen to survive with the help of God. In Jeremiah 30 and verse 17, again, another prophet of God said, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord God. God heals us from our wounds. But there's a third wall that we often build that we have to get rid of. You must let go of your fears. You know, again, we are such a fearful people. It's kind of like worry, but there's a little bit difference between worried and being fearful. In the book of 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, Paul writes, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love. Now, it doesn't continue there, but this is the passage. But of love and of a sound mind. Fear cannot penetrate your sound mind. Now, that's why he says that we have to have a mind that is void of fear. We have to bust through that wall, get beyond it in some way or another, as Paul writes in Hebrews 13:6, that we may boldly say that the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You know that fear, as I mentioned this morning, just immobilizes people. But how to keep fear of failure from holding you back? That's one of the biggest fears that people have, isn't it? And we need to stretch. As I said this morning, we have a potential that is a tremendous potential. Sometimes we are so fearful. But you know what? If you're going to fear anybody, you need to fear God. Solomon said to fear God and keep his commandments. And that word fear there meant to respect him. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Essentially, in the book of Ephesians 5 and 21, Paul, the great evangelist and apostle, said that we are to submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. You know what fear is in actuality? Someone did this little thing. It is false evidence that appears real. Isn't that true in life? We look at things that happen in life and we become so fearful, and then you look back at it and you think, boy, I don't know why I was so afraid of that, and it didn't happen. Do not fear, God says, Isaiah 41 and verse 10, for I am with you. We must have confidence in God. And I'm going to tell you something. There'll be a lot of people that are going to chunk rocks and stones at your confidence. And a lot of people that have confidence and exhibit that confidence, a lot of people look at him and say, well, boy, he was a little overconfident, or she was a little overconfident. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I'd rather be a little overconfident than to not have any confidence. Don't let anyone shake your confidence. Don't let anyone destroy it. But number four, last of all, you must let go of your wrongs. Not only do we build walls of fear and walls of worry and walls of wounds, but oftentimes we build walls of wrongs. Sometimes people say, well, I would come to Jesus, but I just don't know that the Lord could really forgive me of all my sins. I'm going to tell you something. The Lord can forgive you of your sins. Your sins, the Bible says, however, in Isaiah 59 and verse 2, have separated you from God, and your sins have made him hide his face from you, that he will not hear you. That's why we have to get rid of the sin, the wall of sin, the wall of wrongs. But how do I do that? Well, the Bible in 1 John 1 and verse 9 says that if we confess our sins, He will forgive us of our sins and then cleanse us from all unrighteous acts that we have done in our life. As a child of God, what we have to do is get into the presence of God. And again, I ask you, what is holding you back as a Christian? Is there a wall? Is there a wall? It may not be a physical wall, literal wall, but it may be a spiritual wall or a figurative wall that holds you back. We have to tear down the walls. In Job 14, 17, Job said, "You, O God, will forgive them and put them away, and you will wipe out all the wrongs that I have done." Job spoke well, but he spoke of inspiration. Do you know the words of Job are inspired just like the words of Paul? The Bible says our prophecy in old time came not by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Spirit. We must never, ever let the sadness of our past and the fear of our future ruin the happiness of the moment or the present. So what's holding you back? He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. He restores our joy, doesn't he? He gave His lifeblood that we might be saved. And what God asks us to do is to give Him our life. Turn your life over to me and tear down the wall. What I tell you to do tonight is the same thing that President Ronald Reagan told Premier Gorbachev to do years ago. To tear down this wall. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know how you could read the Bible and not come to the conclusion God says to us, tear down that wall. The wall of your wounds, the wall of your worries, the wall of your fears and anxieties, and the wall of your wrongs. Sometimes we don't admit it, like I said at the beginning, but there's a wall there. You're going to be confronted with one in just a moment. We're going to sing the invitation song, and if you're here tonight, not a Christian, there's a wall the devil's going to put up before you, and he will be trying to convince you that you don't need to do that. He'll be trying to keep that wall intact. And he'll make you feel comfortable with it. And you'll say no. But to those of us who are sincerely willing to tear down the wall and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior through our penitent heart and our immersion into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, the wall can come down. And it will. I'm going to tell you, it's the best way in the world to get rid of the walls in your life that are holding you back tonight. And even as a Christian, sometimes when we've removed the wall, we go back and we build it again. And we have to remember what King David said in Psalms 18:29, "By the help of my God, have I leaped over the wall." You can do it. I did it. We can all do it. And I hope tonight that if you're here and you're subject to the Lord's call to become a Christian or to rededicate your life to the Master who is with us and who leads us and gives us the power to do all things, and I hope you'll respond tonight while we stand and while we sing.